Today on Family Talk.
Most experts are expecting the Supreme Court to strike down all laws prohibiting gay marriage in the United States when they announce their ruling this June. Today, Dr. James Dobson interviews a panel of guests on what we can and should do about it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're interrupting our regular scheduled programming to bring you an important 3 days of broadcasts on the upcoming Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. This is a monumental decision that all of us need not only to be informed on, but also be prepared for how to respond. Now, for those of you who will not be able to stay with us throughout today's program, I want to let you know there couldn't be a better time to join the Ministry of Family Talk financially. As you know, our mission is to preserve and promote the institution of the family and to stand for righteousness in the culture. Regardless of what the Supreme Court decides, we will not back down from our support of the family. If you'd like to support our mission and help us stand up for families, right now is the best time to give. Generous friends of Family Talk have stepped forward with a $200,000 conditional match that will double your gift today. Call 877-732-6825 or click the donate tab at drjamesdobson.org. And to thank you for your donation, we'll send you my dad's newest book, Your Legacy, and the corresponding DVD from our new film series, Building a Family Legacy. Again, 877-732-6825 or click the donate tab at drjamesdobson.org. Here now is my dad, Dr. James Dobson, as he introduces our guests on today's edition of Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk. I'm talking to you today from Tupelo, Mississippi, from the headquarters of the American Family Association. And we're here, compliments of Tim Wildman and the AFA team, and I appreciate them hosting us today. With us are three what I call captains of the pro-family movement to discuss. We're going to be here to talk about one of the most important subjects I've ever addressed in 37 years of broadcasting, and you'll see why in a minute, but it deals with a decision pending now by the U.S. Supreme Court deciding whether or not the institution of marriage will continue to be defined as being exclusively between one man and one woman, or whether it will henceforth include some kind of arrangement, including same-sex marriage. I think this will be one of the most important Supreme Court decisions ever handed down, and we'll know the answer in early June. Here to help us with this discussion and the implications of it are three men that I have great love and respect for. On my right is Dr. Rick Scarborough. He's the founder of Vision America, which seeks to restore Judeo-Christian values in America. This man has a heart for righteousness and biblical truth, and I appreciate him more than I can say, and he's been my guest several times on the broadcast, and I'm delighted to have him here again today. Also with us is Matt Staver, one of the nation's preeminent constitutional attorneys. He's the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. His credentials and accomplishments would fill many pages, and we'd take the whole program to talk about them, but I'm delighted to have him here. He's married to Anita, who is also an attorney and the president of Liberty Counsel. The third guest is Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association. This organization is heard daily on their radio program on 200 stations, and he's the son of a great friend of mine, Dr. Don Wildman, the founder of AFA. Gentlemen, we have so much to talk about today that I'm going to get right to it because I don't want to waste a single moment. Now, Matt, you being the attorney at the table, I want to talk to you first. You heard me say a minute ago that this may be the most important Supreme Court decision in many, many years, maybe the most ever. Do you agree with that statement.
I absolutely do agree with that statement. And it doesn't take anything away from the significance of what happened in 1973 with the abortion decision and the tragedy that we've experienced in this country, losing so many children since 1973. The difference, however, between the abortion decision in 73 and this decision regarding marriage is the coercive nature of it. For example, in 1973, the Supreme Court went off the track and said that there is a right to take your child's unborn life and sacrifice that under the name of choice. And as bad and as horrible as that is and has been through our history, it did not force people to participate in actual human genocide. People could drive by abortion clinics and not even think about what was taking place in the abortion clinics. The difference, however, here is that a decision on marriage that says that there is a constitutional right to same-sex marriage will result in coercion against people's religious freedom. It will not simply be a decision that says that there is a right to same-sex marriage and you can disagree with it, but you're not going to be forced to affirm or promote it. If the Supreme Court crosses that line, the significant difference will be that it will fundamentally change our landscape. It will fundamentally say, as a policy matter, that children don't need moms and dads, as bad as that is. But more particularly, it will also collide with religious freedom because it will elevate same-sex unions and sexual behavior to the same protected and preferred status as race. And think of this, what you cannot do legally with respect to race, you will not be able to legally do with respect to same-sex unions or sexual behavior. So here's an example. A Baptist church can hire Baptists, a Catholic church can hire Catholics, but you can't hire only white Baptists or white Catholics. Nor can a church say, this is the white-only restroom. The restroom for people of color is down the hall or in the back of the church. That would be racial discrimination. Churches are not exempt from racial discrimination. Once you elevate same-sex marriage to protected status, you elevate it to the same status as race. So while a church may be able to hire people consistent with its doctrine, a church will not be able to say to the teacher that now is in a same-sex relationship, you can no longer teach our fifth grade students because that conflicts with our religious beliefs. Nor will they be able to say to the man, I'm sorry, sir, the men's restroom is down here. This is the women's only restroom. It will be the same as if you were to say, this is a white only restroom. And we could give example after example. And it's not hypothetical because we have the baker who is being forced to bake cakes for same-sex unions. We have the photographer who cannot do the photography business anymore unless she participates in photographs and promotes same-sex ceremonies. We have Arlene's Flowers with Baronelli Stutzman, the 70-year-old lady out west who has known different customers, baked cookies and cakes for this one particular customer for 9 years, friends with the person. And one day the customer comes up and says, I want you to cater flowers to a ceremony in which I'm going to marry another man. And when Baronelli says to someone who she thought was a friend, I can't do it, it collides with my religious beliefs, she's sued by the individual. A civil complaint is being filed because of discrimination, and now the state attorney general is coming after her. They're seeking to bankrupt her personally and also in her business simply because she refuses to participate in a ceremony that collides with her religious beliefs. And we could give example after example, and that's why this is such a significant issue, and you are exactly right with how you began this program.
It also is going to change the entire culture. I mean, overnight, five justices or six or however many it's going to be, but a very small oligarchy is going to impose this on 350 million people in this country. And by the way, to give an idea of just how radical this is, only 17 countries in the entire world have done such a thing. And those only occurred in the last 12 or 15 years. So, I mean, this is out there.
In world history, we've never crossed this line before. In world history, not just American history, about 20 years ago or a little bit less, the first country in the world was Denmark to affirm same-sex unions, not same-sex marriage.
What year was that?
And that was around 1989. And then In America, it was 2004 in Massachusetts. So we're only 11 years into this social experiment in world history in America, and then less than 20 years in world history in all of civilization, not even the Greek culture, although it may have been sexually promiscuous, affirmed as a policy, as a state-mandated approval, same-sex marriage. So this is something of significance in world history, and it is culture-changing. When you go to Vermont or Massachusetts, Vermont passed civil unions for the first time in 2000, and then you look at Massachusetts' 4-3 decision at the court in 2003 and 4. That was the first state to cross the line for same-sex marriage. It fundamentally transferred the educational system. I can't even on the air tell you what is happening in the Vermont and Massachusetts public schools with regards to this issue. It's not about tolerance. It's about unbelievably promiscuous and dangerous sexual behavior that's being promoted. And in the adoption area in Massachusetts, not only do they put children in same-sex households, they are absolutely seeking out affirmative action and affirmatively trying to put more in same-sex households than in opposite-sex households. So it is fundamentally a transformation of the culture.
Rick, give us your take on it. I know you have similar views.
Well, I do, and I want to just play off of what Matt just said about the legal side of it. From a spiritual perspective, when Roe v. Wade passed, it was an abominable act. 55 million plus cases of infanticide have been enacted upon children who had no choice in the matter. We're not given the privilege of living. But in this particular case, these children will be raised, in many cases, by same-sex couples. Our nation is now sanctioning a lifestyle that God forbids. And so the innocent children grow up in a nation where now they're even recommending laws to be passed to prevent us from what they call reparative counseling. So yeah. If that comes to be, and overnight, by the way, the president announced he was going to pursue this, if that comes about as a result of these laws, then it would be illegal for me to share the gospel with a child. That child grows up in his life never knowing right from wrong from a biblical perspective, and they die and crash into hell. So what we're discussing has eternal consequences as well. That's why the pastors of America have got to rise up with a single voice and declare, this is a bridge too far. We will not cross it. If necessary, we'll go to jail, but we're going to continue to do what we've always done. The culture right now, led by a very small minority, 1-2% that embrace this lifestyle, maybe 3, and others who've been co-opted by liberal education and the media and other places, but it's still a minority thrusting this new way of living down to the church. And what the church has to say is, we're going to continue to do what we've always done based upon the authority of God's word.
What you touched on there having to do with children is where my heart is,
right?
Because I've given my life to hopefully the betterment of children and helping parents to raise them properly, and certainly to introduce them to Jesus Christ and the principles of Scripture. Man, this undermines the whole thing. This means what they've done in Massachusetts and California, where 5-year-olds are propagandized. You know, kindergartners, imagine these vulnerable little kids being taught things that contradict what the parents believe. I mean, this is draconian. And you also mentioned that President Obama, just in the last few days, has made a statement about reparative therapy. This means every Christian counselor in the country is prohibited from helping someone deal with feelings of same-sex attraction if they ask for it.
Right.
And if the parents pay for it, they can't do that. What does the President of the United States, who knows nothing about this issue, have to do with telling the rest of us how to live our lives?
That's the kind of thing you would hear if you were trying to teach the scripture in a Muslim country. You can't say that in this country. And that's why what I believe is the correct path for preachers is to declare early, declare loud. And we're asking pastors to go to defendmarriage.org. And those of you who are lay people, you can do this as well, but send your pastor there. We're trying to build a petition of upwards of 1 million or more people. And the more pastors that we can get there, the better. We already have some of the leading pastors in America, like Ed Young of Second Baptist Church of Houston, most recently Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, and renowned evangelist, world evangelist, who's signed this document. It is a pledge for marriage, and it declares in no uncertain and unmistakable way, or mistakable way, that we will not obey a ruling that contradicts the scripture. We're going to obey God rather than man.
Hmm. Tim, weigh in here.
Well, so much to talk about what you guys covered here. One thing we need to remember, as secular as our society has become, in 31 states, I think I'm right, Matt, 31 states where people actually went to the polls to vote, yeah, our side won, to define, yeah, marriage as between a man and a woman.
And it wasn't close.
And to put that definition into their constitution.
Right. Exactly. But see, we're told by the liberal media that this is, we're on the wrong side of history, and America is overwhelmingly for same-sex marriage now, and so you guys are going to be left behind. I just want to stop for just a minute and remind folks that, no, when we've gone to the polls, 31 states have said marriage is between a man and a woman. Even states like California in 2008, the same year President Obama was elected, and California voted for him, they also voted to pass a marriage amendment defining it as a man and a woman. So I just want to pause for just a minute and say, no, it's not overwhelmingly on one side. The American people, as I said, as removed from God as we've become, still, when they go and pull the lever and the booth closes, they say to themselves, I'm not voting for a man to marry a man. And they may not want to go outside and be interviewed by the media and be called a bigot about their decision, but I think that's where people understand innately that this is a moral issue and it's wrong to do. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, and I'd like Matt's opinion on this, there's 9 justices on the Supreme Court, and the conventional wisdom is that it's going to be a 5-4 decision one way or the other, either in favor of the states having the right to maintain their constitutional amendments to define marriage as between a man and a woman, or will it be imposed from the Supreme Court, same-sex marriage, that is, on all states and, I guess, territories as well. So, Matt, I think there's a chance that Anthony Kennedy, the swing vote in most of these cases, do you think it's 50-50 for him?
You know, I can't really predict anymore with this particular court, especially on this issue here of same-sex marriage or any other ideological issue that involves these kinds of matters, because this court has shown that they are ideologically driven, at least a number of them, as opposed to principle-driven and constitutionally driven. So I really can't have any confidence. Obviously, we need to pray for this Supreme Court to do the right thing, to come with a ruling that says that there is no constitutional right to same-sex marriage. Obviously, that is a no-brainer because there is nothing in the Constitution. But we need to pray that they at least reach some kind of fundamental, very simple ruling to that effect. However, this court has messed up the landscape so much. They have issued this decision in 2013 regarding the Federal Defense of Marriage Act that caused confusion. They have stayed different lower court decisions, and then they decided not to review the cases, and then they've stayed other lower court decisions, and in the same week they said, well, 2 of the 3 were not going to stay, and then at the end of the week they said, no, none of the 3 were going to stay. So they're completely all over the map. They're absolutely, fundamentally without any guiding principle. And 2 of the justices, Kagan and Ginsburg, have actually presided over same-sex marriages while the same-sex cases were pending before the court. So they've publicly injected themselves into this issue.
They really ought to recuse themselves.
No question about it. I mean, this is the most egregious thing that I've ever seen. They've actually publicly come out and positioned themselves on one side of a case that's pending before them. That causes the American people, and it should, to lose confidence in the court. And this gets us to this one scenario about the court that I want to lay down, and that is this. Rick has said that we need to, if necessary, have resistance if the court goes the wrong way. So if the court goes the wrong way, I don't think we can respect that as the rule of law. And somebody says, well, that's kind of a audacious statement to make. Well, no. If you go back to Dred Scott in the 1800s, Justice Taney, who was a racist and collided with Abraham Lincoln, wrote the Dred Scott decision and said to Dred Scott, no rights for citizenship for you because people think that, quote, blacks are inferior human beings, close quote. Now, no one would defend that law now. We ended up fighting a civil war over that nonsense that he wrote and that issue. And if it wasn't something that can be defended now as the rule of law, then it wasn't the rule of law then. It was just a bigoted decision of a couple of justices. Another case, just as, and there's many examples, 1927. Kerry Buck in Virginia was forcibly taken by the government and sterilized. Why? Because three previous generations before her had low IQs. And as part of the eugenics movement, they wanted to get rid of the, quote, undesirables. Well, they didn't want her to propagate any more low IQ people. So they forcibly sterilized her. She went to the Supreme Court. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said, no justice for you, Kerry. Why? Because, quote, three generations of imbeciles are enough. Well, that was a bigoted decision. No one would defend it today. It wasn't the rule of law then or now. But what happened was it upheld the law. It spread throughout the country, and Adolf Hitler caught wind of it. He used it as the platform for his eugenics movement. And when the Nazis were put on trial for the atrocities of the Holocaust, they quoted from the Supreme Court's decision, if you in America condoned this kind of selective eugenics, then why are you having a problem with us? Now, those are two of many examples. If the Supreme Court crosses this line into this absurdity and invents a so-called right to same-sex marriage, I think we should treat it as the same as Dred Scott and Buck versus Bell, in that it is no law at all worthy of respect. Our highest respect to the rule of law requires that we do not respect a lawless decision. And this is so coercive, so fundamentally changing, such a slap in the face of religious freedom and churches, that we cannot remain silent.
Well, I hope that this program has been as informative for you as it has for me. We can't be blindsided by what happens in June, and we need to be prepared. We've been listening to an interview with my dad, Dr. James Dobson, as he talked with a panel of experts on the upcoming Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. I'm Ryan Dobson, and truthfully, there's not a lot we can do physically about this decision. I hate to say that. It depresses me. It's still true. But there are two things we can do. One, sign the marriage petition at defendmarriage.org. Defendmarriage.org. And two, which is the most important thing we can do, is talk to our Creator. Pray to the Lord about our Supreme Court justices and the decision they'll be making. The Creator of the universe hears us when we pray. It's the absolute most important thing we can do. To find a link to defendmarriage.org, go to drjamesdobson.org. We have a link right there on the front page. And coming up next time, don't miss part two of this vital interview on gay marriage with Dr. Rick Scarborough, Matt Staver, and Tim Wildman. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Stay diligent. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk, and we're privileged to stand with you to serve families and to make resources available to strengthen homes and build family legacies of faith. This is only possible through the generous support and partnership of friends like you. Now, this month, your gift can go twice as far, and it will be doubled by a dollar-for-dollar matching grant up to $200,000. This challenge is conditional. It's conditional upon your generous response. Family Talk will only secure the full match with an aggregate response of $200,000 in support. For your gift of $30 or more, we'll say thank you by sending you my latest book, Your Legacy, and its corresponding DVD from a brand new DVD series called Building a Family Legacy. We want to help you lead your kids and your family and those important in your life to Christ. And this book and the DVD will help do just that. So we look forward to hearing from you today. Call us at 877-732-6825 or you can find us on the web at drjamesdobson.org. Thank you for your support and for listening to Family Talk.
Do you want to know what the best decisions that my mom and dad ever made on my behalf was? It was their decision to basically force me, that's right, at 17 years of age, to go to Summit Ministries for a two-week camp. The truths about God and the world that I learned at Summit went on to shape the rest of my life and has led me to where I am today. Well, I have some exciting news about how you can save a bunch of money on sending your son or daughter to Summit. Summit has agreed to offer a $200 discount to Family Talk listeners if they use the promo code FAMILY15. Again, $200 off by using the code FAMILY15. Don't wait, because this offer ends soon. Go to summit.org today. Again, summit.org to sign up your teenager today.